begin this talk with a few words about gratitude. It's often said that in the practice of the Dharma, we seek to abandon unskillful qualities and cultivate skillful qualities. We talk a lot about abandoning unskillful qualities. Unskillful qualities, mental qualities, for the most part, come under the category of either aversion or desire, disliking or liking, not wanting and wanting. So a lot of our effort goes into letting go of aversion and desire, understanding it, finding freedom from it. But it's also important that we learn to cultivate skillful qualities, qualities of mind and heart. Gratitude is one of the most important skillful qualities that we are asked to develop. It's one of the most important qualities in the practice of the Dharma, but in life in general. It's really a quality of mind and heart that's it's essential for us to develop on this path. It's so important. The Buddha talked about that a lot, and he said, these two people are hard to find in the world. Which two? The one who is first to do a kindness and the one who is grateful and thankful for a kindness done. And so the Buddha said that, you know, he looked out at the world and saw that, you know, it was rare to find beings who practiced kindness and gratitude and made an effort to develop gratitude. So there's various ways that we learn to cultivate gratitude as students of the Dharma. One of the most basic ways of developing gratitude is learning to develop gratitude for those beings who've gone out of their way to help us. This is a good definition of generosity. So in other words, beings who've been generous to us, it's a good definition of generosity. That we go out of our way to help others. So we learn to develop gratitude for those who've been generous to us, who've gone out of their way to help us, who've acted with our well-being in mind. And within the teachings of the Buddha, that begins with our parents. You know, it's a very important element of Dharma practice that we seek to develop as we move forward. This development of gratitude for our parents. It's said that we owe our parents a debt of gratitude. You know, because they gave us the greatest gift that we've ever gotten, which is the gift of life. So just in that itself, we owe our parents a debt of gratitude. And of course, there's other ways that they've helped us too. None of us would be here if our parents didn't give us the gift of life and take care of us when we couldn't take care of ourselves. So this gratitude is important to develop if we want to develop the heart, if we want to develop the heart. It's hard to develop the heart and feel the joy of living and have a wish to know the happiness that's available to us as human beings if we're not grateful to the people who gave us the gift of life, who gave us this gift of this human life. You know, it's like if somebody you don't like and really hate, this is an outdated metaphor, gives you a radio, you know, it's going to be hard to enjoy the radio because you don't like those people. They gave it to you. You know, our parents gave us this gift of life, so we owe them a debt of gratitude. It's for many of us, and for me, it was something that was very difficult and challenging and took a long time for me. You know, and of course, it's still a process, and I've been doing this for a long time to develop gratitude for my parents because I had a very difficult relationship with both my father and my mother. You know, so what I usually try to tell people is, you know, at the beginning, a lot of the practice, like I said, is learning to abandon the unskillful. So you have to look at, you know, any kinds of aversion or anger, other kinds of feelings that aren't skillful that you may have towards your parents, and, you know, bring awareness to that. We're never asked to change anything, but just to see what's there. And what I suggest is that you just try to be open-minded and be willing to consider the possibility, if it's difficult for you, that you could develop gratitude for your parents. I mean, for a while, I was very closed off about that, you know, and it took me a long time just to open up to it. You know, and of course, what we come to understand is that there still may be feelings that aren't so wholesome in terms of aversion and resentment towards parents, but there can still at the same time be gratitude. You know, there's room for both. You know, as we develop meditation, you know, our field of understanding widens. We're not so narrow-minded, so aversion can be there, resentment can be there, but there can also be love and gratitude. My mother was very difficult. We had a very difficult relationship. As I've talked about here before, a lot of people know, in the years before I moved to Berlin, I was taking care of her as she was going through the process of dying. And it was actually kind of a long process, helping to take care of her, being one of her caregivers, for a number of years as she was ill and then as she died. And I was her oldest child out of five, so, I was always kind of I was always the responsible one. So I spent a lot of time taking care of her for a number of years. It was a big part of my life, and it was difficult, but it was also probably one of the things in my life that that enabled me to open my heart more than anything else. I have been able over the years to learn, because it's a skill. You know, we learn to be able to have gratitude. And I was able to develop gratitude for my mother and my father. Not really grateful. You know, something that, I knew I had kind of developed it because I started to feel it. In a lot of ways, that was really surprising. It was like, wow, there's real gratitude there. You know, where'd that come from? No, that came from a bunch of years of doing what I was taught to do and learned to do so that I could open my heart and develop gratitude. My mother, as I said, she had five children. I was the oldest. To take care of five children, is such a, there's so much generosity, if anybody here's parents knows, so much generosity goes into, that's really the definition of going out of your way to help another being. You know, she took care of five children, she also worked full time. You know, which in my day, nowadays it's not so normal. When I was growing up, it was very unusual. My mother was the only mother in the neighborhood, as far as I can remember, who had a full-time job. You know, she was the primary source of income in our family. And she was a school teacher. And she was a school teacher in a very tough school in a tough district in a low socioeconomic area. And, she was a brilliant teacher. I had the privilege of having some interaction with some of the people that she worked with, and she was a master teacher and loved her job and loved helping these kids who had a lot of problems and difficulties and came from difficult backgrounds. She had so much goodness. She had so much goodness that she demonstrated. She wasn't a person that didn't demonstrate her goodness. She took care of her kids and she helped other people. She helped hundreds of other people. So much of what I felt and my brothers and sisters felt when she was dying, when she was going through a period of getting sick and even before that and dying was, she was difficult, and it was really hard for us, and there were a lot of times when, we were suffering over what she was doing and the way she was, and can be really hard, and it was hard for us in many ways. And it was very profound, because after she died, what we were so in touch with was her goodness, you know. And it was so clear to us, you know, and we all spoke at her funeral and talked about her goodness and her generosity and her kindness and how she helped us. Because that's what gets passed on, you know, that's what gets passed on. When we leave here, what gets left is our goodness. And, you know, when she left, that's what was there, was her goodness. And it was like, wow, you know, look at how much she did for us and helped us. You know, look at what an extraordinary person she was in doing what she did and living the way that she lived in this life. So, you know, our task is to repay our debt to our parents. And the Buddha said the best way that you can do that is by making the most of your life. You know, they gave you the gift of life. Make the most of your life. Make the most of your life. So, you know, my mother was an example of somebody who was generous and a role model for me of somebody who practiced generosity is the way she lived. She was never really somebody who was very concerned with materialistic things. She was really concerned with helping others. And of course she wasn't perfect, but she, for lack of a better way of putting it, possessed an attitude of generosity. This was her way of being in the world. Our way of being in the world is our attitudes. You know, as Dharma students, we seek to have what in the teaching is known as sublime attitudes, an attitude of love and compassion and joy, those attitudes that we sought to, gratitude, those attitudes that we sought to cultivate at the beginning of the meditation. So, we, as Dharma students, you know, I use that term a lot. I actually like that term. You know, Dharma student is somebody who's following this path. It's not just somebody who meditates, but somebody who follows the path. It's a way of being in the world. It's not a religion. You don't have to sign any papers. You don't have to get a Buddha statue. It's a way of living. Dhamma means way of living. You know, we use Dhamma. We usually talk about the Buddha's way of living, the way that he taught and practiced, because it was a way to happiness. It was a way to happiness. And you know, as Dharma students, we develop an attitude of generosity, or that's one of our tasks, if you will. That's one of the things that we seek to do, is develop an attitude of generosity. And you know, something that's not so easy, but very important to develop this kind of attitude, you know, being this way, in the world, meeting life with an attitude of generosity. You know, so, you know, that means a lot of things, of course, but, you know, it means not just paying lip service to generosity and talking about generosity and what a great thing generosity is, and we all should be more generous, because that doesn't necessarily mean that much. It doesn't mean just giving, because we can give without an attitude of generosity. You know, we can give, you know, you see a lot of this in spiritual circles, Dharma circles. People give because they know it's something that they're supposed to do. You know, I want to move up the spiritual ladder. I better give, you know, and be generous. But, you know, it's very easy to give without having an attitude of generosity. It's not that there isn't some value in that. But there's a much greater and greater and greater and greater and greater value if we give with an attitude of generosity and if we go through life with an attitude of generosity. So, you know, I mean, the practice of the Dharma is about, you know, cultivating sublime attitudes. So we learn to shift our attitude, you know. And, you know, and in large part, I talked about this on Saturday, a few of you were there. You know, this means shifting our attitude from an attitude of aversion and desire, liking and disliking, wanting and not wanting, shifting our attitude from an attitude of I want to get something, there's certain, a job I want, or a person I want, or some kind of status, or some kind of praise that I want, there's a way that I want to be so that I'm acknowledged, there's a certain identity that I want to have, that I want other people to recognize when they look at me, and that I want to have so that when I consider myself, I feel good about myself. Yeah. So, you know, as Dharma students, you know, we're shifting from that attitude to an attitude of generosity. And, you know, as I've said, in large part, that means seeing when our attitude is about getting and being, seeing when our attitude is that wanting attitude, I want this, I want that, I want to be this kind of person, etc., etc. Seeing when we're caught in those stories about the things that we want, the things that we don't have that we want, the things that we have that we don't want. You know, bringing awareness. You know, our practice as a Dharma student is to bring awareness, is to bring awareness, is to come out of, you know, the darkness of delusion, and to see the truth about the mind. You know, it's not about what's in the mind being good or bad. It's like, is it causing us suffering or not? And to see the way that our minds are. You know, to bring awareness to what's in the mind. You know, bring wholehearted awareness, this kind of awareness that we seek to develop that's informed by wisdom, that understands that, you know, when we have those attitudes of getting and wanting and not wanting, we suffer. And in large part, you know, we contribute to the suffering of others. So, you know, when we're aware of the way our mind is and what our attitude is. I mean, I really like thinking about things this way because attitude can be really subtle. You know, we tend to identify, attitude is sort of like the way that we identify ourselves. So it becomes part of our self-view. It's like, this is the kind of person I am, and I go through life with this attitude, you know? So that's really something to kind of learn to start to pay attention to, and it can be very subtle, you know? And you know, it's so subtle, and it's so ingrained in terms of the way that we are that we just sort of take it for granted, and we think this is who we are, but it isn't who we are. But you have to see that for yourself by bringing awareness to it. If you bring awareness to it, you understand that it's not who you are. You know? So, you know, paying attention to what our attitude is, bringing awareness to what our attitudes are, seeing how our attitudes are informed by aversion and desire and not wanting, by resentment, by, you know, different ways in that we're trying to develop some kind of a self-identity, some kind of an identity. You know, as I've already kind of spoken to, you know, my mother, you know, and the way that she lived in terms of the attitude of generosity that she exemplified taught me, you know. And, you know, I learned from her, I learned about having that kind of attitude of generosity. You know, for me, you know, sometimes maybe this is to my detriment or made life more difficult. I was never that really concerned with making money or having possessions. My inclination or motivation in life in terms of what it was that I wanted to do was to try to help other people, So, you know, that's kind of how I ended up doing what I'm doing now. That was all because of my mother. You know, I mean, I learned that from my mother. You know, so much gratitude there to her for that. Now, you know, I mean, I teach the Dharma. I've been doing this full time for 20 years. I've kind of dedicated myself to trying to help others, but I have to really pay close attention to what my attitude is. You know, is my attitude an attitude of generosity? Well, it isn't always. You know, it's like this is a process. You know, and it's not going to be perfect until I become enlightened, which probably isn't going to be until next Thursday. So, mm-hmm. You know, just kidding. I have to always be looking and paying attention, and a lot of it is those very subtle layers, you know, that I see about, you know, when I'm teaching, wanting people to like me and wanting people to like what I say, or not liking it when I think people don't like what I say, or developing this perception, you know, generally unwittingly because it's my karma. Of somebody that people like, or somebody that, you know, is helping other people, and you know, some kind of self-exaltation, a way of putting myself in a position so I feel good about myself, and having this idea of a perception that I think will, that others will see and think highly of me when they see it, you know. So, you know, these are the things, you know, is, basically it's wanting status and praise, you know, the things that, you know, it's not usually for me in teaching, like, I'm going to teach this class so I make a lot of money. I mean, it is that way for some teachers, you know, it's not that way for me so much. Sometimes that doesn't really come into play, but it's more the other ways, you know, that I want to create some kind of an attitude that isn't, or that I have an attitude that isn't informed by generosity and love and compassion, but more by wanting, you know, and be, you know, getting and being, wanting to get acclaim and praise and be recognized as somebody. So, you know, that's what I have to really pay attention to, and that's what I work with, and, you know, continue to strive to develop an attitude of generosity. An attitude of generosity. I mean, the Buddha was perfect with that, you know, but other than the Buddha and a few other enlightened beings, you know, we're all, I mean, God knows, if you know any other spiritual teachers and Dharma teachers, et cetera, you know, I don't want to judge anybody, but, you know, it's plenty of them aren't completely imbued with an attitude of generosity. I mean, I'm no different than anybody else. Hopefully, maybe, I just try to really pay close attention to that, you know, and seek to develop an attitude of generosity. You know, and that's why coming to classes like this are really important. You know, somebody brought this up a few weeks ago. How do we continue to do these things and develop these attitudes that you're talking about? We'll try to hang out with other people that are talking about it and are trying to do it too, because out there in the world, not so much. A little better in Berlin than New York, where I'm from, but, you know, New York wasn't always like that so much, but most people are, you know, trying to get and be, you know, even all the artists who come here, right? I used to work with a lot of artists in New York. Being an artist is a great way to be able to express your generosity in the world. I mean, one of the most beautiful ways, in many ways the most profound way. The Buddha was an artist, you know, I mean, a real artist in terms of the way he gave and was creative. But, you know, we work with so many artists in New York, and it was always a challenge, you know, in terms of having an attitude of love and creativity and compassion and generosity and trying to help others through their art or wanting acclaim or being caught up in the competitive art world of New York, you know. You know, so, you know, we see these qualities in the mind, these attitudes, and we learn to change. We learn to develop this attitude of generosity. And a lot of it begins with, you know, I mean, that's a process. Part of that process begins with starting to incline the mind in a different direction. You know, it's very simple in many ways. The Buddha said all that we are begins with our thoughts. So we try to incline the mind away from what can I get, what do people think about me, I want them to like me. You know, that person's book has got more likes on Amazon than mine does, that son of a bitch, you know. We try to incline the mind away from that to thinking that's leading us more to generosity. A lot of it, I like to say it's living in the questions, you know? I mean, the basic question, as Ram Dass said many moons ago, how can I help? How can I help? I mean, that's a good question to ask, you know? So we start to, that's how we really change, by changing our mind. How can I help? How can I benefit others? How can I live in a way so that my life is an expression of generosity? You know? And, you know, a lot of what we're doing in this practice is, you know, changing the mind and by trying to learn to think in a different way. It's really, you know, in many ways very simple, and understanding that, you know, that's a process. You know, if we keep asking those kinds of questions and keep inclining the mind towards generosity and keep hanging out with people who are practicing generosity, the mind will shift. It'll bend in a different direction. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time. You know, that poem by Rumi. We used to do a lot of poems. The best way, you know, read a lot of poems, the best way that poems integrate into a Dharma talk really is when you remember one, you know, that poem of Rumi's, you know, just keep knocking on the door. You know, submit to a daily practice, just keep knocking on the door. Sooner or later, the joy that's there, you know, will open. The door will open, and the joy that's there will come forward. So we just keep learning to incline our minds. And we learn to take joy in our generosity. I mean, that's a very important part of the process of cultivating generosity, is taking joy in our goodness, taking joy in our generosity. That's why the first thing that we learn to do in meditation, or one of the things that we learn to do at the very beginning, is to take joy in our generosity. Remember our good actions, the way that we've helped others, the way that we've been able to go out of our way to help others, to take joy in our generosity and in our goodness. When we do these things, when we develop this attitude of generosity, the path of the Dharma unfolds for us. You know, it's a path of giving, and the greatest joy and happiness that we know in life comes when we're able to give. So let's just close our eyes just for a second.